On the morning of June 25th, 1894, 500 people gathered outside the golden-domed State House in Boston, Massachusetts. As they waited with anticipation, a woman appeared. Her petite frame was clad in typical Victorian garb of the late 19th century. A long skirt, a high-necked collared shirt, a corset underneath. Her name, at this point in the story anyway, was Annie Kupchowski. And beside her was a bicycle.
Ladies and gentlemen, I appreciate you sending me off as I embark on my bicycle journey around the world. Oh, sure, Thomas Stevens pulled off the feat a decade ago, but he was British and a man. I, ladies and gentlemen, I will be the very first American and, more importantly, the very first woman to pedal around the globe on a two-wheeler. And what's more, while Mr. Stevens took 3 years to circle the planet, I will carry out the feat in less than half that time, just 15 months. Any questions?
Miss Kupchowski.
Boston Globe here. Can you tell our readers why just 15 months? Is it true two local businessmen dared you to do it?
Well, these two gentlemen bet $10,000 that a woman couldn't ride a bicycle around the world in under 15 months. I'm setting out to prove them wrong and relieve them of their prize money.
Miss Kupchowski. I'm from the Boston Evening Transcript. Are those the only terms of the wager? Didn't the businessmen also say you had to make a certain amount of money along the way?
They said I must bring back $5,000, not by begging, borrowing, or stealing, but by earning it. So I'm starting my journey with nothing but empty pockets and my business savvy.
Actually, that's not true. Miss Kupchowski, I represent New Hampshire's Londonderry Lithia Spring Water Company. And if you ride around the world with this advertisement for Londonderry Lithia Spring Water prominently displayed on your bicycle, I will give you $100.
You have yourself a deal, sir. And I'll do you one better. I'll change my last name from Kupchowski to Londonderry. Consider me a walking billboard. Or a wheeling one, that is.
Wow, thank you, Miss Kupcha. Miss Londonderry.
It's my pleasure. Now, will anyone make a bid for advertising space on the wheel? Or the handlebars? Perhaps on me, then. I'll charge $100 for my leg and $300 for my back. No takers? No worries. That leaves $4,900 to make and 20-some thousand miles to travel in just 15 months. And if anyone can do it, it's Annie Londonderry. See you on the other side, Boston.
Now, remember, this was 1894, the late Victorian era. Women were supposed to stay home, tighten their corsets, and take care of the kids, not gallivant around the world on a bicycle while trying to earn $5,000, which, incidentally, is the equivalent of like $160,000 today. But Annie Kupchow, I mean Annie Londonderry, didn't give a hoot about supposed to. When she started her adventure, she left behind a husband, 3 kids, and an entire way of life. And over the next months, this working-class Jewish immigrant would reinvent herself over and over again and take the entire world by storm. I'm Rebecca Shear, and this is Who, When, Wow.
Our past is vast and wild. Many things have brought us to this day. History has been compiled. Some important details have slipped away. In our spectacular shared existence, we consider it a business to recognize a few folks you may not know.
Hey, grown-ups, power up your family's playtime with the Nintendo Switch system, the home of Mario and friends. Jump into the unexpected with Mario, Princess Peach, and more in Super Mario Bros. Wonder. Or challenge each other to a race in Mario Kart 8 Deluxe. Go to Nintendo.com and browse the full lineup of Nintendo Switch systems. Additional accessories may be required for multiplayer mode. Games, system, and some accessories sold separately.
Annie Londonderry Kupchowski loved telling stories. On her bicycle trip around the world, she told tale after tale to the press, to fellow travelers, to throngs of adoring fans. As she once said,
I found out what they liked and gave them plenty of it.
Did she ever? Here are some of the yarns she wove.
I grew up a poor orphan.
I grew up a rich heiress.
I am the cousin of a United States congressman.
I am the niece of a United States senator.
I went to law school.
I went to medical school.
I started a newspaper business.
I sold a newspaper business.
I'm an accountant.
I'm an inventor.
I hunted Bengal tigers with royalty in India.
I fended off a pack of bandits in
France. I was taken prisoner after slipping on an icy river, stumbling into a war zone, and taking a bullet in the shoulder in China.
None of those stories were actually true. Except maybe the poor orphan part. Here's the deal. She was born Annie Cohen in the Eastern European country of Latvia in either 1870 or 1871. Her Jewish family immigrated to Boston, Massachusetts when she was a little girl. Anti-Semitism, or prejudice against Jewish people, was rampant in the United States. So Annie grew up keenly, even uncomfortably aware of her Judaism, which might be another reason she'd later change her name to the more neutral-sounding Londonderry. In 1887, when Annie was a teenager, her parents died. Hence the sort of kind of truth of the poor orphan story. The next year, Annie married an Orthodox Jewish peddler named Max Kupchowski. By 1892, the couple was sharing a cramped apartment with their three small children,
Mommy!
Plus Annie's older brother,
Sister!
His wife,
Sister-in-law!
And their two children,
Auntie Annie!
Annie had a part-time job selling advertising for Boston newspapers, so she got out of the house from time to time. But as she later wrote, by her early 20s, she felt the walls closing in on her.
I didn't want to spend my life at home with a baby under my apron every year.
So, in 1894, she decided to do something about it. Now, at the time, there was a craze in the United States for bicycles. Especially among women.
The wheels are in motion as ladies across the land mount their steeds of steel. With more and more gals fighting for the right to vote, the right to education, and the right to be considered equal to their husbands, good luck with that, the bicycle is a new symbol of freedom. It's cheap, it's affordable, and in the words of famed women's rights activist Susan B. Anthony,
it gives a woman a feeling of freedom and self-reliance. The picture of free, untrammeled womanhood.
In other words, she's got a ticket to ride, but she don't care.
I'm sorry, but did you just quote a song by the Beatles? But it's only the 1890s. The Beatles don't get together until the 1950s.
Well, regardless, this revolutionary invention is shaking up society. But while the ladies love it, the men aren't so sure. Take this typical male doctor here.
Women are far too fragile for bicycling. It gives them stomach aches, headaches, not to mention the unladylike clenched jaw and unattractive bulging eyes known as bicycle face.
Bicycle face? That's not even real.
Not only that, but it causes a serious scandal when these defiant dames hitch up their skirts and expose their ankles.
Expose our ankles? Is this guy even a real doctor? I don't believe that.
Sorry to interrupt, Susan, but we need to wrap up this newsreel.
Somebody show me his medical degree.
Old-timey newsreel guy, out.
Annie Kupchowski was 24 when she mounted her steed of steel and headed west. To her delight, it wasn't long before she began drumming up publicity in local newspapers.
Miss Londonderry arrived in New York early
in the world. She should not go around the world in 15 months.
Yes, with an abundant muscle and an equal desire for notoriety.
But it wasn't that easy. Annie had to bike over country roads that were rocky, sandy, and full of mud. When she couldn't afford a room for the night, she slept under bridges, inside barns, even at a cemetery or two. Plus, her long, heavy skirt kept getting caught in the wheels of her hefty 42-pound bike. She was sweating like a Thanksgiving turkey in her tight corset. And oh, did I mention that she didn't really even know how to ride a bicycle? Yep, she had taken her very first lesson just a few days before leaving Boston. So by the time Annie reached Chicago, Illinois in September 1894, she was ready to give up. But then something happened that would change her mind, her heart, her course, and her life.
Hey, grown-ups, it's Guy Raz here from Wow in the World. Happy Earth Month! As you might have heard, Earth Day is on April 22nd. But we have some ideas for how to celebrate the wows of this amazing planet we call home every day. Grown-ups, visit tinkercast.com/earthday for activities the whole family can do to celebrate the Earth today and every day.
I'm Rebecca Shear. Welcome back to Who, When, Wow.
You know who I am.
Today we're talking about epic globetrotter, or globe cycler, Annie Londonderry.
They mount their wheels with readiness and grace. They're not a bit too shy. You ought to see them fly. They trot and pace, and when they win a race, the boys rejoice to see the choice come in first place. For they are the girls in bloomers, the queens of the...
This is an actual song from 1894, the year Annie Kupchowski, or Annie Londonderry, set off on her bike trip around the world. It's called Hurrah for the Girls in Bloomers. And it's about, well, bloomers. Those baggy pants women wore at the turn of the 20th century with a narrow cuff at the knee. Women usually hid their bloomers under skirts. But once the bicycle craze hit, some ladies ditched the skirts and ruffled many a man's feathers by wearing bloomers alone.
I see London, I see France, I see Mildred's under...
Ah, get over it, Horace.
By the time Annie Londonderry reached Chicago, she was ready to abandon her adventure. For one thing, she was sick of untangling her long skirt from her bike wheels. So she dumped the skirt, wore just her bloomers, and decided to keep going. But bloomers weren't the only reason. Johnny, tell us what else changed Annie's mind about quitting her trip around the world.
A brand new bike! Annie Londonderry, you're the proud new owner of the latest bicycle from Sterling Cycle Works here in Chicago. Unlike that 42-pound clunker you've been lugging across the country, your new Sterling Roadster is an easy, breezy 20 pounds. Sure, it doesn't have a handbrake, and it only has one gear. But with its white rubber tires and elegant wood rims, not to mention its flashy ivory and gold trim, you'll be the queen of the road. Just watch out on those hills.
With her lightweight bike and her lightweight bloomers, Annie was once again ready to roll. But it was nearly October, and winter was coming, and she worried about crossing the U.S. in the snow. So she reversed course and headed east to New York City. And on November 24th, 1894, with just 10 months left to complete her trip, she boarded a transatlantic ocean liner to France. The French people adored this plucky American cyclist. They waited in long lines to purchase autographed photos.
Who should I make this one out to?
Jacques.
Jean.
Jean-Luc.
They sent her countless love letters.
Ma chère Mademoiselle Londonderry.
Ma belle Mademoiselle Londonderry.
And they paid her big bucks to advertise everything from perfumes to bicycle parts to milk.
How do you say got milk in French?
Oh, and remember those tall tales Annie loved to weave? The French ate them up. After a short spell in Paris, Annie headed to the port city of Marseille. But when she arrived, the cheering crowd lining the streets noticed that she was pedaling with just one foot. The other foot was bandaged and propped up on her handlebars. Now, the truth is, Annie had just overworked her muscles and injured a tendon in her heel. But that's not what she told a reporter for the local Marseille newspaper.
One night, I had an encounter with highwaymen. The bandits sprang at me from behind a clump of trees, and one of them grabbed my bicycle wheel, throwing me heavily.
Mon Dieu!
I carried a revolver in my pocket within easy reach, and when I stood up, I had that revolver against the head of the man nearest me. He backed off, but another seized me from behind and disarmed me.
Oh la la!
My shoulder had been badly wrenched by my fall, and my ankle was sprained, but I was able to continue my journey.
OMG!
The story was especially absurd since Annie had made the 500-mile journey to Marseille from Paris in record time, just a day or two. Any guesses how she did it? That's right. She took part of the trip by train. But Annie had a story for this, too. She explained that the Boston businessman who made the original wager actually permitted her to ride the rails.
If I asked them first. Or if the roads were too bad.
Or
if I only took the train a certain number of miles.
Whether any of that was true, well, we'll never know. But what we do know is that after Annie left Marseille on a steamship, she sailed to Egypt.
And from there, I biked to Jerusalem, where I gave a lecture about my trip to a standing room only crowd.
Okay, I wasn't going to do this, but Annie, hey, can we talk for a sec?
Well, I'm in a bit of a rush, Rebecca Shear. I have just a handful of months before my deadline in Boston.
I know, but can we get real here? You claimed you biked to and from Jerusalem in one day, but that's hundreds of miles.
Well...
And then, and correct me if I'm wrong, you took a ship from Egypt to Singapore, where a local newspaper accused you of being a fake. I think they called you a crank.
Well, you know what they say. There's no such thing as bad publicity.
In any case, after Singapore, you sailed to Vietnam?
No, I biked there.
But Singapore is an island, Annie. Did you bike over water?
I don't know. Did I?
All right, so somehow you got to Vietnam, and then China?
Yes, where I was taken prisoner after slipping on an icy river, stumbling into a war zone, and taking a bullet in the shoulder.
Right, we've heard that one before. But ship logs show you were on a boat to Japan.
Was I?
And yet you also told people you biked up to Siberia?
True.
And through India?
Where I hunted Bengal tigers with royalty, yes.
But... You left France in January 1895. 7 weeks later, you left Japan to sail back to the United States. So you're telling me you had all these adventures on your bicycle in just 7 weeks?
Well, give or take a few days. Now, if you'll excuse me, I have thousands of miles before I pocket that prize money, and the clock is ticking. Ta-ta!
March 23rd, 1895. With just 5 months before she had to be back in Boston, Annie arrived by ship in San Francisco, California. From there, Annie headed eastward, giving lectures, selling advertising, and hopping the occasional train.
All aboard!
But when she reached Iowa in early September, things ground to a halt. Annie claimed she was coasting down a hill in the countryside when her bike chain slipped off. As she told a reporter from a local newspaper, the Clinton Herald,
a farmer was coming up the hill. I asked him to turn out a little so I could pass, but his only answer was curses.
No.
I tried to stop my wheel by catching hold of the front wheel, but it struck a rut and I was thrown over the handlebars, my hand catching in the spokes and breaking my arm at the wrist.
Yikes.
The pain was something terrible, and after riding a couple of miles, I got off and bounded up as best I could and rode on 16 miles further until I reached Tama, where I had it dressed.
Well, I'll be.
Of course, that wasn't the only version of the story. Annie later told another reporter from another newspaper that she had been coasting down a hill in the countryside
when I saw a drove of pigs ahead.
No.
They wouldn't get out of the road, and I couldn't stop.
Yikes!
When I caught up, I found that my left wrist was broken. I had to ride 18 miles to get to a doctor.
Well, I'll be.
Whatever actually happened, Annie took some time to recover. And then, on September 24th, 1895, she finally pedaled into Boston with one arm in a cast, $5,000 in her pocket, and one day to spare before her 15-month deadline. Now, even if Annie hadn't technically biked her way around the world, she had made it around the world and cycled thousands of miles in the process, something no other woman had done before. And she had become such an international sensation that her triumphant return didn't just make front-page news across the United States.
Miss Annie Londonderry has toured the world around the world, made on a wager. She is to receive $10,000.
Her triumphant return made headlines around the world.
Signorina Annie Londonderry,
a remarkable performance being recorded as having been a conqueror.
And yet, despite the fanfare, by the time Annie died 52 years later, in 1947, her exploits had been forgotten. Ask someone who Annie Londonderry is, and chances are they won't know.
Oh, do you really think so, Rebecca Shear?
Annie, you're back! Congrats on winning the wager, by the way.
Thank you.
But you say I've been forgotten. And yet everyone listening to this podcast right now will know my name. And I hope be inspired. Inspired to be strong and bold, to believe in themselves and follow their dreams, to seek out adventures
and tell stories?
Yes.
However fantastic they may be. You know, Annie, since you're here, it just so happens I have a tandem bike parked outside. What do you say we go for a ride?
I'm right behind you. And while we're biking, I can tell you more about that tiger hunt in India. There were 10 of us, you see, and we were all riding elephants. And Prince Leland Germany was there.
Hey, Prime members! You can listen to Who Went Wow Mystery Edition early and ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen early and ad-free with the Wondery Plus Kids in Apple Podcasts or Wondery Plus in the Wondery app. And grown-ups, before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
Who When Wow is an original Tinkercast production. Our show is written by me, Rebecca Shear. Eric Shimalonis is the mastermind behind our original music and sound design. Meredith Halpern-Ranzer, Mindy Thomas, and Guy Raz serve as our show's executive producers, with additional production assistance from Henry Moskal. Our Who When Wow theme song was composed and performed by The Pop-Ups. For more on their three-time Grammy-nominated all-ages music, find them at thepopups.com. Special thanks to this week's actors: Evan Casey, Kevin Corbett, Nico Ennis Bernal, Robert Fung, Thais Harris, Anna Matsuzaki, Josh F.S. Moser, Tracy Lynn Oliveira, Anthony Palmini, Alejandro Ruiz, Igor Shimalonis, Nick Shally, Sydney Shally, and David Swanson. The song Hurrah for the Girls in Bloomers was played and sung by Bob Stillman. Want to keep the Who and Wow experience going all week long? Grown-ups, you can follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. Our handle is at WhoWenWowPod. Visit whowhenwow.com for free activities and resources that extend the wow after each episode. We couldn't put the wow in Who and Wow without you, so thanks for listening. Now get out there and make a difference in your world. You could be the next who to wow the future.
Who and Wow was made by Tinkercast and sent to you by Wondery.